First Cast, episode 509. My name is Paul Garcia, and I am the host of First Cast. Joining me on this emergency episode is Project Spurs' John Diaz. John, how you doing, man?
I'd be better. If in any other news cycle, like, I'd be better. The Mono news is kind of depressing, but I'm also... How many times have I been on for an emergency pod?
You're like my go-to guy for emergency podcasts. So, Spurs Cast listeners, as John just indicated, you know, this is obviously... Colin and I had just recorded a Spurs Cast 5 days ago on August 22nd, but we had kind of mentioned that Manu Ginobili was making that decision pretty soon, where he was going to decide whether to continue playing in the NBA or decide to retire. And he did on Monday, August 27th, he did officially make his announcement via Twitter that he did retire. So, like, the entire NBA community is kind of coming around and, you know, thanking Manu for everything that he taught them and stuff, and everybody's kind of just giving you know, him, their congratulations. While at the same time, a lot of Spurs fans, you know, even just the basketball world in general, media types, a lot of people were very almost like sad and depressed, because, I mean, this is like a guy who's been a part of the NBA game for a number of years. So real quick, John, some of Manu's accolades. Obviously, you know, there's so many that he achieved. 16 years in the NBA, 23 professionally. Four-time NBA champion with the Spurs, winning percentage 72%, which is the best among all players who have logged 1,000 games, according to one of the Spurs' PR guys. He made the All-NBA team twice. I mean, considering he was a guy who came off the bench most of his career, he did make the All-NBA team twice. He was a Sixth Man of the Year in 2008, and then he made two All-Star teams as well during his career. One of his most non-NBA prolific awards was winning the gold medal in 2004 with Argentina. That was a huge day for the whole country of Argentina, for them to win the gold medal in basketball and for the USA not to finish as the gold medal team as they've been dominating over the years. So just real quick, John, obviously, Manu's been a part of my life. He's probably been a part of your life for a number of years. For me, it goes all the way back to high school when he first started. He was a rookie. I was still in high school. What was your instant reaction to the news today?
Yeah, same for me. Like, I'm a little bit younger than you are. So it was the end of middle school when his rookie year happened. And one of my earliest memories is still seeing him holding up the number 6 jersey downtown when they introduced him, and just thinking, who the hell does this kid think he is taking Avery Johnson's number like that? And the whole uproar behind that, like, that's probably one of my favorite things, that, you know, just seeing where he's come, like, maybe he deserves 6 more than Avery Johnson, you know, looking back at it. But it's kind of shocking. Like, I remembered where I was when Tim retired. I'll definitely remember where I was when Manu retired. And it saddens me, because I honestly believed he would have retired last summer. And when he signed a 2-year deal and Diego Maradona was like, yeah, Manu's going to play 2 more and then call it quits, I was convinced he was coming back. We're 2 weeks away from training camp. I was just getting to the point, like, okay, yeah, he doesn't have to make an announcement. He'll be back no matter what. And it's just really startling how much this team has changed in a matter of months. You know, and this isn't like anything like we've seen with the rest of the NBA, where it's like the Golden State Warriors effect driving teams crazy. This is just a dynasty that has been around for over 2 decades, finally coming to an end and transitioning to a new era.
Yeah, and for me, my first thought is, I think I'm still in kind of a denial. I don't think I've accepted it. Yeah. Just because of the fact that, you know, I hate to say it, but Tim, you could tell he wasn't like in his prime. Like, he was still effective, but you know, he could tell his best days were past him. Whereas Manu, you know, this thing I talked about with Colin, is that both statistically and even on the court, you can still see that in spurt minutes, you know, 20 minutes, 15 minutes, he was a very productive player. He could have easily next season come in and been one of the Spurs' key playmakers off the bench. And in fact, we'll get to this in a little bit. It almost looks like they have a hole there. They did lose somebody that was somebody they could always rely on every night off the bench there. And so for me, I think it was just that denial of that. I just saw, you know, at this level still, even though he's logged 16 years in the NBA, he's 41 years old now, I just thought that he could still play another 1 or 2 more seasons, especially from what we saw on the court. It wasn't like his play on the court was what's pushing him to retire. This is more so his decision, you know, obviously probably more so for his family, and maybe he didn't want to, you know, go through the grind of the NBA anymore. But I think that's why I think I'm still in that stage of denial where I just don't accept it almost, because for me, I think my whole going into this summer, I was almost sure he was going to come back. I was very confident that he would come back. And I had even been saying that in previous Spurs cast. And again, just based on the body of work that he had put forward this past season. But then, of course, as I think we got, I think I've kind of accepted a little bit more mentally as the weeks went on, especially last week when Woj put out that he's considering retirement, like strongly considering retirement. When those words finally come out, that kind of shows that he, and especially when you look at the reality here, it's only like 3 weeks away from training camp, and the guy hasn't made a decision yet. I think that's when I started thinking, oh man, he actually might retire. This might actually be it. And so this is obviously the news. Like you mentioned, you know, for me, it was I was in high school when I think I was a junior or senior, and when he first made 03 that his rookie year. And, you know, he became obviously one of my favorite players on the Spurs. And then just, you know, as I try to get away from that Spurs bias, just overall in the league, I mean, the guy's just been an incredible athlete and, champion. Let's just go through, you know, when you think of the name Manu Ginobili, what are some of your favorite memories that come to mind?
Starting at the top, honestly, him winning the gold medal. I remember watching that and just thinking, it was kind of just crazy how bad USA basketball was at that point, but seeing him win was just kind of like, it was comforting. It was comforting to know that the Spurs had this guy, and just seeing the golden era of Argentinian basketball. Probably my favorite moment, and I remember because I was at work. I used to work at North Star Mall at this little sports store, and we were watching the Spurs-Suns game one in 2008 when Timmy hit the bank shot three, and they went into double OT, and just watching him go left and just float in midair and throwing up that game-winning layup, that one always stuck to me because it was just... I thought 2008 was probably the best chance the Spurs had to repeat. And watching that first game, I was sold that the Spurs were going to do it that year, that we were finally going to get off this. The Spurs never repeated after any championship thing. And, of course, it didn't happen. But that one just... I guess it was just super personal for me. I don't know why I can't pinpoint it. And it's one of those things, like you said, like, I'm still in denial that this is happening. Everything is just a blur from his career outside of like him slapping the bat out of midair. So I'm just at a point where it's like, I can't think of one significant thing outside of like the hearted block and good Lord. And maybe like him breaking his elbow and then coming back against the Grizzlies in 2011 sticks in my head. Yeah. It's just those little things, but you know, over time we'll probably editorialize them and do it properly, but it's just kind of like coming to grips with your own mortality right now.
Yeah, and I think I was like this when Tim Duncan retired too, where I wasn't really. I remember I was in Vegas because I was at Summer League at that point, and I woke up and he just did that bland press statement. You know, Timmy definitely didn't do as much as Manu did here. He's like, okay, I'm done. Like, you know, just press statement. Tim Duncan's retired from basketball. That's it. Anyway, one of my favorite memories that comes to mind is always that Bill Schoening clip from the 2007 championship against Cleveland, where he said, "Manu, you know, you do the voodoo." Like, what he says, like, only you
the
do the voodoo
that
like,
you do. Yeah,
that you do so well. So that's always been one of my favorite go-to lines when I think about Manu. And then also his passes. I mean, just that one bullet pass he had to Matt Bonner a few years ago. And then that one of my favorites, I used to have it saved in my likes on Twitter, which is like my bookmarks. That one against in 2012 against Oklahoma City, where he like goes baseline, like it's like the hammer play, and he throws that like spiral, like sidearm pass to Danny Green. It's almost like literally like time stops as that ball's floating to Danny's hands. Danny catches in the corner, and then he makes a three. I remember a few years ago, I was just going through some old plays of Manu, and I looked up 2011, which is Kawhi's rookie year, or 2012, should I say. And Kawhi's first made corner three was a behind the back bounce pass against Memphis from Monty. It was insane. I'm like, it's like welcome to the league. You know, those kind of plays. Obviously, the Euro step was huge. You know, just me as a pickup basketball player that I like playing. You know, with my friends and stuff in the gym and stuff. That's something that I like to incorporate. And that was obviously all Monty right there, where that inspiration came from. I think one of the other cool things was, you know, the pressure three pointers and free throws he always made for the Spurs when he was like one of their go to guys with Tony and Tim. And then I think what's interesting is the way that he kind of morphed his career. Like just even like, I think it was last season or two seasons ago, I was just going through old YouTube clips of like 05 Manu, 07 Manu. I mean, the guy is like, his speed level is just insane. The way he can get around people and pick and roll and kind of just dart through traffic to get to the rim. And it's almost like he had these different phases of his career of being like that go-to primary scorer type player, then being that guy who like the younger players relied on, that veteran presence, who could kind of keep the offense moving for Pop when he came off the bench, is what we saw these last few years. What else did you want to add up regarding Manu?
Another one is the three-pointer he hit against the Warriors when they made that massive comeback, when Richard Jefferson completely forgot Manu was sitting 20 feet behind him. That's probably one of my favorites. God, man, there's just so many, and it's just he had his own flair and own personality, and being that Spanish star in such a, you know, Hispanic market, it's just incredible what he was able to accomplish. And his worldly accolades, like, we've always seen people that debate, like, oh yeah, he's not really a Hall of Famer, and it's like, you need to look at that resume from 16 on. Like, he just dominated basketball in three different countries over the course of his entire career. Like, you can't say that man's not a Hall of Famer. I know there's probably more I'll probably get into later and start crying about and posting on Twitter. So, but yeah, like, I think we're doing as much as we can right now with such devastating news so just late into the summer already. Like, it's just kind of taken us off guard.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the way I feel too. It's almost like we haven't kind of accepted it yet, and I think it'll hit once you know, especially once the season starts. When, especially like for me, that I work in the media. I mean, that when I go to the media games, as a media member, should I say, Manu's usually there. He's usually one of our go-to interviewers that the Spurs PR department gives us, just because he's a really good communicator. Always gives really good, thoughtful, you know, honest answers. A lot of times he will say, you know, we're playing really badly right now, this is what's going on. And he's honest, honestly, with reporters. And I think that's what's going to hit, is when you look to the left side of the locker room and his jersey's not up there, you know, his name tag's not up there, Manu. And then even like Tony Parker's gone now too. It's going to be a different season. I think also the moments that when you're going to realize it is when you look at the bench, and you know how he likes to sit before, you know, the introductions happen, and he likes to do that thing where he jumps up and taps the back of the backboard.
Yeah.
That's something that you're not going to see anymore. I mean, there's going to be, I think as the season starts, I think, and you know, training camp starts and stuff, and we start watching the games, I think that's when it's going to really hit, that, oh man, here comes the 6-minute mark of the first quarter. Guess who's not coming in finally? It's Manu. Like, that's going to be incredible that player is not there. This guy that you, like you said, you and I have basically been watching since we were kids in that Spurs rotation. So, you know, obviously, SpursCast listeners, you all are probably having an emotional day today, you know, learning about Manu, one of the guys, you know, along with Tim Duncan just 2 years ago, and then also Tony Parker just left over the summer. Even though you'll still get to see Tony, he's obviously out of the Spurs jersey too. So it's been an eventful summer for the Spurs. You know, it just continues now with this news that Manu is retiring. You know, John, I was looking at their roster, and the player with the longest longevity now on the roster is Patty Mills. 2011, 2012. He's the guy who's been on the team the longest, and the only member left of that 14 championship is Patty, and obviously Marco came back, but you know, he hasn't been with the Spurs this whole time.
And it's kind of crazy that, you know, it's LaMarcus Aldridge after that. Like,
yeah,
it's that's kind of like just disconcerting. But you know, that's the state of the NBA. The NBA changes really fast, and the Spurs have been lucky enough to have that kind of consistency for however many years. You know, 15, 16 years of these guys playing all together. We've been kind of spoiled in that sense. You know, not a lot of franchises can say that in their history, let alone the Spurs can say that about five different guys.
Yeah, I mean,
going back to Gervin, so it's like, come on.
Exactly. It's almost like that, you know, the way the Spurs fans, especially the younger ones, like, think about like a 16-year-old kid today. He's grown up, or he or she has grown up their whole life knowing that Manu Ginobili's been part of their team. They've grown up, if you're a 21-year-old or 20-year-old, you've grown up knowing that the Spurs are going to win, you know, be a winning team every year. So it's crazy, like you mentioned, the longevity that these guys have definitely put on the team and this foundation here in San Antonio. So now that obviously Manu has retired, but you know, the Spurs are obviously, they're going to keep going on, you know, as a business, as a team, they got to continue going forward. They have another season, like you mentioned, John. They have still 13 players on this roster, and Pop and RC need to get them ready for another competitive season. So a few hours after Manu did announce his retirement, the Spurs did have to go on with business. They have announced a few reporters announced that the Spurs and Quincy Pondexter, an unrestricted free agent, have agreed to a 1-year partially guaranteed deal, most likely the veteran minimum, for him to join the team. So he'll basically take up the 14th roster spot. But again, it is partially guaranteed, so we don't know if this is a situation where he needs to try to make the roster during training camp or during the preseason, or if it's something where it goes all the way to January 10th. So just some background information on Pondexter. He's a 6'7 outside shooter who plays mainly the 3 or 4. He's had a bit of an injury history lately. You know, he's coming off a left knee injury. He also had some sort of skin infection as well recently. He did play in 23 games with the Chicago Bulls last year before they waived him. And so, you know, according to the reporting, he's fully healthy. So I think this is more so of a chance for the Spurs to get some depth at the wing while seeing if this guy's healthy. What do you think about the Pondexter signing that's going to be coming?
At first, it was really uninspiring for me when I started to delve deeper. Because, you know, I figured Shabazz Muhammad, Jamal Crawford are still out there. We can use that as a stopgap, especially someone like Jamal, who's friends with DeJounte Murray and has been a mentor to him. And then I started looking a little deeper. It's funny because I felt the same way about the Dante Cunningham signing until I started looking, you know, back at the numbers and stuff. And these two were teammates with the Pelicans in 2014.
With New Orleans. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. He's a really good 3-and-D guy if he's healthy. And it's kind of hard to see him healthy when he's had three surgeries on his knee. He's had a foot injury. But and the staph infection that he had from taking a cadaver cartilage into his knee. So
yikes.
That kind of stuff is a little frightening. But if you look at his numbers from 2014-15, which you could call it his career year, he's another one just like Dante Cunningham, a great corner three-point shooter. He was maybe about 3-5% above league average from the corners. And he seems to have a decent passing ability, and he's a good locker room presence. If you go back and look at some of the stuff from the Pelicans, they voted him as teammate of the year for their locker room, and that's one of those things where Anthony Davis loved him and stuff like that. Also, the whole fact that he's only 30. He's younger than Danny Green, so if he can prove to bounce back in some sort of way, maybe it could be a decent signing, and it's only partially guaranteed. So if they want to go chase someone else or give those merits to Derek White, they can. Like, Chicago did it last year. They didn't waive him because of an ineffectiveness. It's just, hey, you're not going to play a lot. We're in a rebuild mode. We don't have a spot for you. You just have to go. So he's got something to prove. It'll be interesting to see where they go from here.
Yeah, one of the seasons where I remember he was kind of breaking out was a year in the playoffs. Remember against the Spurs? I think he was with the Grizzlies at one time, and they had a few players go down due to injury, and he showed up and started hitting some threes for them. So that's where I remember seeing my first glimpse of Poindexter, and that's a good point by you bringing up the part, you know, his age. He's only 30. He's only spent six seasons in the league, and obviously it's been the injuries that have hindered his professional career. But if he can bounce back and show that he's fully healthy, he can be a really good 3-and-D player for the Spurs off the bench. You know, this isn't really on our agenda, John, but I did want to talk about this. I mean, you mentioned one of the guys there, Derek White. With Manu gone, I mean, just looking at basketball, the Spurs do have a hole there, like I mentioned, about a guy that Pop can rely on to create some offense, keep some composure in those, you know, those spurts, that 18 to 20 minute spurt, you know, off the bench, and which is what Manu was doing there. And they have some guys that might be able to take that, be able to do that. And Derek White, you might look at a guy like Lonnie Walker the fourth, maybe Marco Bellinelli. He's not as diverse in the pick and roll as those other two players can be, you know, when you're comparing them to Manu, basically. So what do you think this Manu decision is going to have, the kind of impact it's going to have on these younger players like Lonnie Walker and Derek White?
I'm really interested to see what happens with the starting lineup, because you replaced Kawhi with DeMar, who's a shooting guard, natural shooting guard, and I don't think you really want to move him out of position too much. So do you insert Rudy? Do you insert DeMar at small forward and maybe add Patty next to him? There's so much, you know, it's kind of funny how we went from, you know, this team has a whole glut of guards to now we're kind of like, wait a minute, they've got a hole at the guards roster, the roster spot. My initial reaction was Lonnie Walker is going to get a ton of minutes, and I've been kind of warming up to that idea that this is a lottery-level talent. Maybe the Spurs should try to go out there and kind of fast-track his development, but that's a very un-Spurs-like thing to do. So maybe Bryn Forbes takes a bunch of those minutes, or maybe you move Patty to the two and DeMar to the three and kind of hope Derek White figures it out. But you're trusting a lot into these guys, and luckily you have Marco in there to play the stopgap, and maybe Poindexter does something with that spot too.
Yeah, I think one of the things you brought up there was regarding who was it? Walker the fourth was that based on his summer league performance, I think Pop will give him the usual Spurs rookie treatment. Hey, you're going to Austin back and forth here and there, but now it looks like with just the amount of guys that are off this team now and the positions that are open there, I do feel like he's going to get that Kawhi treatment in 2011 when Kawhi actually got, you know, real minutes early on in the season and Pop eventually gave him a starting spot. Now, I don't know if Lonnie will ever go up to the starting two spot, but I definitely think that spot is in play. I think that initially they're going to give it to Marco just to give the spacing of the starting lineup with Murray and DeRozan. But then I think as the season goes on, if either White or Walker plays very well, I could see Pop, you know, doing that Kawhi thing from a few years ago and giving one of those two guys the starting spot. And then, of course, whoever's not getting that spot might become like that player who takes the six-man rotation spot of what Manu's kind of leaving behind. So thanks again, John, for joining me for SpursCast episode 509. I know it was an emergency. You're my go-to guy for emergency SpursCast. You know, so thanks again. I mean, well, maybe it'll finally hit us. Once a few more days pass that we're realizing, hey, Manu's not coming. You know what? It might hit me actually. September 11th when NBA 2K19 comes out, maybe. I get the Spurs roster. Manu's not on there finally. Because even on the video games, I'm so used to him coming. Whenever I play with the Spurs, I'm so used to him coming in midway through the first quarter. And then, like, you know, he's just my guy who can easily run pick and roll. So maybe even in the video game world, we might kind of start feeling that he's not going to be back with the Spurs.
We're going to need those historic teams for 2K to come in and hopefully put on like a 2014 roster, because, I mean, it's been long overdue. The Spurs have only had one historic team on that game for a while. So.
Oh, yeah, especially that beautiful game team that they had there. Yeah. So thanks again, man, for joining me. Spurs Cast listeners, if you're on Twitter, please follow John at @ByJohnDiaz. Again, that's @ByJohnDiaz. Continue to read his work over at ProjectSpurs.com. Thank you. Have a great day.